Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vahini Satsang. So we are today in chapter 24th of Prema Vahini, and like in the previous episodes of this program, we have Brother Bhargav with us. He was there when we discussed the previous chapter, which was largely based on bhakti. Bhagwan was talking about various types of devotees. So in this segment, in this chapter, which is a short one, the discussion continues. It is on the same theme of bhakti, and Bhagwan is talking about bhakti and prapatti. So with prayers at Bhagwan's lotus feet, let us listen to what Bhagwan has written, and then we will ruminate on what that could mean to us.
Bhakti rendu vidhamulu. Paina cheppina navamargamulanu aacharinchu varu rendu tegalaku chendi unnaru. Modati varidi kathina sadhana, rendava varidi nirapayamunu sulabhamunu aina sadhana. Ee rendintine bhakti ప్రపత్తి అని అందురు. మర్కట కిశోర న్యాయముగా ఆచరించు దానిని భక్తి అనియు, మార్జాల కిశోర న్యాయమైన దానిని ప్రపత్తి అనియు చెప్పుదురు. భక్తి ఎల్లప్పుడూ తైలధారవలే అవిచ్ఛిన్నముగా ఉండవలను. భక్తి ప్రపత్తులు ఒక్కటే అయ్యుండియు భిన్న రూపముగా ప్రవర్ధమానమగుచున్నవి. ప్రేమలేక ప్రపంచమున ఏ వస్తువునూ లభించదు. ప్రేమ ఉండిననే అనురాగం ఏర్పడును. అనురాగముండిననే లభించిన వస్తువును రక్షించుకొనును. ఈ రెండింటియందును సమమైనది ఒక్క ప్రేమయే. అయినను ప్రవర్తనలు మాత్రము భిన్నముగా ఉండును. మర్కట కిశోర మార్గమున తల్లి ఎట్లు తిరుగుచుండినను, బిడ్డ తన రక్షణభారము అంతయు తానే చూచుకొనుచు తన తల్లి పొట్టను కరుచుకొని పట్టి లాగినను రాక ఉండును. అట్లే భక్తుడును తనను భగవంతుడు చేయు పరీక్షలందును, లోకమునందరి నిందాక్షేపణలు సిగ్గు ఎగ్గులందును సహనమును ప్రదర్శించి విసుగు చెందక, విరక్తి పొందక, సోమరి కాక సర్వకాల సర్వావస్థలందును భగవన్నామమును విడవకుండా ఉండవలెను. ఇందులకు ఉపమానము భక్తాగ్రగణ్యుడైన ప్రహ్లాదుడే. ఇక ప్రపత్తి మార్గము అట్లుకాక మార్జాల కిశోర న్యాయమువలే ఉండును. సర్వభార సమర్పిత అని తన భారమునంతయు భగవంతునిపై ఉంచవలెను. పిల్లిపిల్ల తన తల్లి పిల్లిపై భారము వేసి తానరచుచున్నప్పుడు తల్లిపిల్లే పిల్లిపిల్లను తన నోట కరుచుకొని ఉన్నత ప్రదేశములకు మార్చుచు ఇరుకైన స్థలములందు సహితము అపాయములేక తీసుకుని పోవును. అట్లే భక్తుడగవాడు ప్రకృతి తనను ఎట్లు ఎదుర్కొనినను, తన సర్వభారమును పరమాత్మునిపై ఉంచి సంపూర్ణ శరణాగతుడైన ఎడల తనను సర్వవిధముల భగవానుడే సంరక్షించుకును. ఇందులకు లక్ష్మణ సేవయే సాక్షి. భక్తినిష్ట కంటెను ప్రపత్తినిష్ట సర్వదా శ్రేష్టము. అన్ని విధముల భగవంతునికి శరణాగతి చేయుటే ప్రపత్తి లక్షణము. లక్ష్మణుడు రామచంద్రుని సేవకై తన కడ్డమగు ధనధార మాతృదాయాదులందరినీ త్యాగమనర్చి చివరకు ఆహారాదులను సైతము త్యజించను. ఒకరోజు కాదు, ఒక నెల కాదు, ఒక్క సంవత్సరమూ కాదు, 14 ఏండ్లు సర్వసుఖ సంతోషములు శ్రీరామచంద్రుడే అనియు, తన సర్వస్వము అతడే చూసుకునుననియు, అతనిని విడనాడక వెంటాడుటే తన జీవిత లక్ష్యమనియు శరణాగతుడై ప్రవర్తించను. కావున సర్వభారమును పరమాత్మపై ఉంచి భగవంతుని ఏమాత్రము విడువక మరువక వెంటాడుచుండిన సర్వము తానే చూసుకును. ఇది ప్రపత్తి లక్షణం.
Those who follow the above said ninefold path are of two kinds. One, the followers of the hard path, and two, the followers of the safe and easy path. These are referred to as 1. Bhakti and 2. Prapatti. That is to say, the practice of the Markata Kishora or the young of the monkey is bhakti, and the practice of the Marjala Kishora or the young of the cat is prapatti. Devotion has to be uninterrupted and continuous, like the flow of oil from one vessel to another. Though the two kinds are basically the same, they blossom in different ways. Without prema, nothing can be acquired in this world. It is only when there is prema, the anuraga or attachment happens, and this in turn leads to the desire of protecting the object acquired. In both the above, no doubt prema is common, but in actual practice, there is a difference. In the Markata Kishora Marga, the child has to rely on its own strength to protect itself. Wherever the mother monkey might jump about, it has to attach itself fast to the mother's belly and should not release its hold even if pulled apart. So, the devotee too has to stand the test at the hands of the Lord and hold on to the Lord's name at all times and under all conditions, tirelessly without the slightest trace of dislike or disgust, bearing the ridicule and criticism of the world and conquering the feelings of shame and defeat. The example of this type of bhakti is that first among devotees, Prahlada. The Prapatti Marga is not of this type. It is like the way of the kitten, the Marjala Kisora. The Sarvabhara Samarpita attitude, meaning submitting the entire responsibility of oneself on God's shoulders. As the kitten simply continues mewing in one place, placing all its burden on its mother, the mother cat holds the kitten in its mouth and removes it to more elevated places or transports it safely through even very narrow passages. So too, if a devotee, irrespective of being challenged by adverse circumstances, places all his burden on the Lord and surrenders fully to His will, then the Lord protects him in every way. Lakshmana is the example of this path. The discipline of prapatti is much more superior to the discipline of bhakti. The characteristic of prapatti is complete surrender in all aspects. To serve Sri Rama, Lakshmana renounced all obstacles in his path, like wealth, wife, mother, siblings, and even food and rest. And this not for a day or a month or a year, but for a full 14 years. He felt that Sri Rama was his all, his happiness and joy, that Rama would grant him everything that he needed, and that his life's purpose was only to follow him and serve him and surrendered his will to him. So, if all burdens are placed on the Lord and if one follows Him ceaselessly and unforgetfully, He will certainly provide everything. This is the nature of the prapatti type of devotion.
So this is what Bhagwan has mentioned in this chapter 24 of Prema Vahini. And if you have been following this Vahini Satsang in the last three episodes, we were discussing this same as concept of bhakti. Here, to begin the discussion, when you look at what Bhagwan has mentioned, the one sentence that Bhagwan mentions here, Swami says that without prema, nothing can be acquired in this world. And it is only when there is prema or the anuraga or anuraga, that's when attachment happens. And this in turn leads to the desire of protecting the object acquired. I was just reminded how Bhagwan used to mention that just like when you give gold to the goldsmith. So Swami used to say that the goldsmith adds copper and other metals. And when the goldsmith does that, that's when the value of the gold reduces. Similarly, Swami says, when the love is pure, but only when you mix it with worldly attachments, that is when the value of the love, the purity, it no more remains that pure gold. No more remains that pure love. If it has to remain in that level of pristinity, then it has to be absolutely without any worldly attachments. So what we see in the world today is love in its various forms, love in diluted to in various ways. Otherwise, I mean, the whole world is governed by love. And here Bhagavan is talking about the highest kind of love, where love is not tainted with anything of the world, but love is sublimated to the level of service and sacrifice. And I think that is when it becomes really purified, and it maintains its character of being gold. And of course, Bhagavan giving here the example of Lakshmana. And if you think about Lakshmana, I think there are so many tales that come to your mind about his service. And Bhagavan mentions in one discourse how, you know, right from the time he was born, Lakshmana, he could not sleep separately. We know that story of how as soon as he was born, the only way they could pacify the baby Lakshmana is to put next to Lord Rama. And I think that is what, and even when, you know, when Lakshmana had to go to the forest, Swami says that if you see the boons of Kaikeyi, there are two boons that Mother Kaikeyi asked. One is Bharata should become king and Rama should go to the forest. So there was nothing to do with Lakshmana there, actually.
Absolutely. Right.
I mean, he was not in the scheme of things.
Right.
But it is Lakshmana who just felt that he has no existence without Rama. And, you know, it is he, in a way, who made this entire process of Rama going to the forest and Sita going, the whole thing happened in the way it happened, only because here you had Lakshmana who said, I want to go with you, Rama. And, you know, Lakshmana wanted to go, then Sita said, I will go. And, you know, so many things changed because of that one act. And in fact, there are so many instances where Swami says that, you know, Rama, we know that instance where Rama clearly says that, you know, I probably will find another wife, but I will never going to find a brother like you. Yeah, Lakshmana, I'll never find a brother like you. And I think, so here, I mean, when Bhagavan is talking about bhakti and prapati, and Bhagavan is saying prapati is this, the aspect of surrender, that is the highest. And you have Lakshmana there as the epitome of that level of devotion. In fact, there was, you know, I was in another discourse, I was reading where Bhagavan is telling, you know, in a rosary, you have various kinds of rosaries, right? Rosaries made of tulsi beads, rosaries made of lotus beads and rudrakshas and all that. And then there is patika, there is this crystal.
Correct.
Sometimes in a crystal rosary, you can actually see the thread because it is pure and clear. So Swami says, in like that, when your heart is absolutely pure, like in a crystal rosary bead, you can actually see the thread that connects. So similarly, if you are pure, then you know what is there inside you, the divinity inside you, that eternal thread that binds you, that will be very pure, that will be very clear. You know, all the time that we are saying that God is inside, the only problem is we have to become that pure and that clear. I think, and when you're talking about these kind of devotees, I think that is what it was. You know, when Rama, Bhagavan says about how Lakshmana said, I don't have a mind. I mean, when Rama asked Lakshmana to build a hut, we have heard that story so many times. And build a hut as per your will, you know, as your mind wishes. And that is when Lakshmana cries and Rama says, I don't know, what did I say? I'm asking you to build a hut. And he says, that is the problem. You're asking me to build a hut as per my will. Where's the question of my will? And I think some of those instances, you know, they've just flooded my mind when, because Bhagavan used to so much talk about Ramayana and Lakshmana's devotion is, especially when he was talking to the youth, he would always talk about Lakshmana's purity. The other thing also that came to mind is, you know, if you look at some of these saints, you had them sublimating this love. You know, if you take the love of Tulasidas, you know, he was something else, isn't it? And then his anuraga for the wife, I mean, he had so much deep attachment for his wife that, you know, he could not live to, could not really stand that, you know, his wife is going to her mother's place. And that's when, we know, during the floods, and, you know, he comes out, and, you know, he holds even a dead body, you know, he thinks of it as a log. and you know, tries to be with his wife, and that's when his wife says that, you know, if you had even a fraction of this much attachment that you have to me towards the Lord, yeah, Lord Rama would have appeared by now. And I think that is what hits him, and that's, and the result is Ramcharitmanas. I mean, so beautiful. I think, I mean, every saint's life is filled with that kind of fantastic moments, and what comes out as a result of that experience is really beautiful. You know, look at their compositions, look at their songs, look at their verses. You know, you can be just lost ruminating on the profundity of their understanding of the divine. You know, because if you see some of these saints, you can understand their songs at various levels, actually. I mean, that is how deep they are, because, you know, bhakti ultimately matures into jnana. I think that is what ultimately happens. In this context, I was just listening to some of Kabir's compositions. You know, there is an alumnus, Brother Rajneesh, who has taken few samples of Kabir Das's dohas, and he's tuned them, and you know, they are so beautiful. I thought maybe we could listen to one of one or two of them, because they're very melodiously done. He's given this original, you know, he has tuned them, because he said it was very easy for me to relate to it, because living with Bhagwan, you know, all these teachings we know, and you know, it's like the raga came and chose, you know, however it wanted to communicate that feeling. So maybe I'll just play one of those songs, and then we can start the discussion.
मोको कहाँ ढूंढे रे बंदे, मैं तो तेरे पास तो तेरे पास में मोको कहाँ ढूंढे रे बंदे, मैं तो तेरे पास में ना तीरथ में ना मुरत में, ना तीरथ में ना मुरत में, ना एकांत निवास में, ना मंदिर में ना मस्जिद में, ना मंदिर में ना मस्जिद में, ना काशी कैलाश में, मोको कहाँ ढूंढे रे बन तो तेरे पास में, ना मैं जप में ना मैं तप में, ना मैं जप में ना मैं तप में, ना मैं व्रत उपवास में, ना मैं क्रिया कर्म में रहता, ना मैं क्रिया कर्म में रहता, ना ही योग संन्यास में, मोको कहाँ ढूंढे रे बन तेरे।
So that is a small clip. I think it's very beautiful where he's saying, you know, where are you searching? Oh man, where are you searching for me? Moko kahan dhunde re bande, main to tere paas, I'm there with you. He says, you know, na teerth me, so you're not there, I'm not there in the temple or mosque or Kashi or Kaaba or all that.
Kailash.
Yeah, or Kailash. And na me jap me tap me, I'm not there in meditation or chanting or fasting or yogas or asceticism, rituals. Yeah. And then Because there are so many paragraph stanzas to this song. Let me play for you the last stanza. Because there he reveals, okay, where the Lord is.
पल की तलाश में कह कबीर सुन भाई साधो कह कबीर सुन भाई साधो मैं तो हूँ विश्वास में मोको कहाँ तो तेरे पास में मैं तो तेरे पास में
So there very beautifully he says that you know you have to make your search right.
Correct.
If you make your search in the proper direction you will find me immediately in a moment. And he says that ultimately where the Lord resides is मैं तो तेरे विश्वास में मैं तो हूँ विश्वास में इट्स ऑल अबाउट फेथ एंड आई थिंक यू नो द बेडरॉक ऑफ दिस भक्ति और प्रपत्ति इज दैट फेथ बिकॉज यू नो एज दे से दैट द फेथ शुड रियली बिकम अ लाइफ ब्रेथ ऑफ एनी डिवोटी आई थिंक दैट इज द बेसिस ऑफ स्पिरिचुअलिटी दैट इज द बेसिस ऑफ डिवोशन एंड फेथ इज टू बिलीव In what you do not see. They say faith is to believe what you do not see. And the reward of faith is to see what you believe.
Correct.
I think that's what happens. So this is something I thought that if you look at bhakti or prapatti, Swami says is bhakti and prapatti, which is the basis of man's life. And the basis for bhakti or prapatti to happen is that faith. And I think what you see if you look at the sage, lives of all the saints is a glorious saga of faith. Fantastic leaps of faith and fantastic moments of vindication of their faith in the self, isn't it?
Absolutely. In fact, when you're talking about the saints and their love for the Lord, there's a different kind of thought comes into my mind because several times, you know, Swami has given the example of how people have attained His love and salvation even by hating Him intensely.
Oh, yeah. that is also bhakti, right?
Ninda stuti, virodha bhakti.
Virodha bhakti. So, Swami is giving the example of Kamsa.
Yes.
Radha and Radha's sister Chandravali. Swami says Radha loved Lord Krishna so intensely, but Chandravali hated him to that extent. So he says, but all three of them, and of course Kamsa hated Krishna because he felt that Lord Krishna is going to be responsible for his death.
Correct.
Which he was.
He hated Krishna so much that he couldn't take Krishna out of his mind.
Correct.
Exactly. So that's the point. Now the point is Swami saying that the Lord is not choosy about whether you love Him or you hate Him. See, prapatti in that sense is complete surrender. Now they have completely surrendered to the hatred of Lord. In the sense, he has kind of filled their mind and their imagination that wherever they turn, wherever they see, they're seeing only Krishna with that hatred.
Yes.
But then Swami adds a footnote. He says something very sweet. He says, but there is a difference between the two. And he says, worshipping, thinking of the Lord through hatred is like tying the Lord to an iron chair and pulling Him with a rope. But if you love Him, if you worship the Lord with a lot of love, that is like tying His feet with a silken ribbon. and then pulling it towards you. Tying his feet with a silken ribbon and then pulling it towards you. So this thinking about this bhakti and prapati, when you think of the lives of all the saints, and obviously one of the most exalted devotees are the Gopikas.
Yes.
And Swami would often talk about them. It's very interesting because there is this song Gopika Geetam,
mm-hmm.
and in which the part of prapati, which signifies prapati, where Swami says Lakshmana gave up his family, he gave up his wife, he gave up
yes.
his children, he gave up the sleep and food and everything. And there is this paragraph in Gopika Geetam where he said Pati Sutanvaya Krishna Bratru Bandhavan. So that paragraph which goes, they say, we have disowned everybody. He said, Lord, we have come to you disobeying and disowning our husband, son, brother, relatives and our family. We are aware of your every move and have come here after being captured by your divine music. Will you abandon such a group of defenseless women in the darkness of the night? So, saying, we have done all this for you and we have come. So, that form of intense love where you know, they are giving up everything for the sake of the Lord, and they are saying, we are surrendered to you, now you are our own. But going further in that Gopika Geetam, there is something which, you know, correct me if I am wrong, but this is just a perspective, this is just a thought that came to me.
Mm-hmm.
The last paragraph where they say, Yete Sujata Charanam Buruham Staneshu Bita Shanai Priya Dadi Mahi Karkareshu. So that is the last paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's very interesting because when you are in the physical presence of the Lord, like when we were with Swami, when we are physically present with Swami, you see Swami doing a certain set of activities, like he's coming for darshan, he's speaking to people. Now, the line that divides Swami as a physical person who's outside you, and that intense devotion which you get when you feel that Swami is a part of you,
mm-hmm.
is inside you.
Mm-hmm.
So that is very sweet. See, bhakti is when you see Swami outside, when you see Swami, I want to be close to you, there is a yearning. But prapati is when you internalized him,
mm-hmm.
when he becomes a part of you. So here in the last paragraph, the Gopikas have, you know, internalized him so much. And they say, as your feet are more tender than a lotus, we use utmost caution while putting them on our chest, on our heart.
Oh my God.
We don't want to hurt your feet when we put your... Lord Krishna is not physically going and putting his feet on their chest or on their heart. But they're saying, when we put your feet on our heart, we will make our heart so soft that we don't want to hurt your feet.
Wow.
See, you know, that thought is so beautiful. And then he said, with same tender feet, you wander in the deep, dark forest bare feet.
Mm.
And then they say, the mere thought of you treading with those tender feet on the thorny, stony path in the forest gives us pain and we lose our wits.
Mm.
Oh Lord, our lives are only for you. We are only living for you. We are only yours.
Mm.
So, that element of prapati, that complete surrender and internalizing the Lord, yes, you see him, and I think that, in a sense, is one of the biggest or the greatest, you know, good fortunes that we have had.
Correct.
Being a student or being a devotee of Swami, there comes a time when there is no difference between the Bhagwan who is outside and the Bhagwan who is in your heart.
Hmm.
You see the same Bhagwan outside, so unless you have Bhagwan in your heart, only then that complete surrender is possible. So you have completely surrendered to Bhagwan in your heart. And you say, your will be done. And in fact, the starting of this paragraph, Swami says there are two parts. One is the easy part, one is the difficult part, and one is the easy part. The hard part is bhakti. And the easy part is prapakti, because that is complete surrender.
Yes.
And elsewhere, Swami has also said, see, part-time devotion is so difficult. You have to think when you have to be devoted, when you have to be normal, or when you have to be not devoted. But full-time devotion is so simple. Complete surrender is so simple.
I mean, becoming a baby is so simple, actually.
So beautiful, actually. So, just coming back to the two steps, what I was thinking is that the the Markata Kishora, that is the path of the monkey, I think still there's a trace of I doing it. Mm-hmm. I have to face the struggles, I have to face the tribulations.
I have to hold on,
I have to do this. Mm. But might be that is the initial phase, like how Swami says, you have Bhakti Jnana and Karma, like two, it's a ladder, the two strings and the middle rungs, all three are together. So in the same way, I think even in this case, might be you become that Markata Kishora and then might be you progress to the Mardara Kishora, like the way it is.
Hmm.
So I was just thinking, I don't know, let us see if it works. I was just thinking of an analogy of Mother Ganga. So if you see, I'm just tracing her from the beginning to the end.
Okay.
So if you start from Gomukh Gangotri, she's very restless, very energetic, cascading down the slopes and then meandering through the circular slopes, everything, like very eager to do something, go and merge with the ocean, with the Lord, and then gurgling through the big stones and all that.
Right.
But after some time, when it comes to, say, Haridwar, again, the name Haridwar, Haridwar or Haradwar, it is actually same.
Yes.
So the Dwar from where God is seen, sort of Hari or Hara.
Yeah, the gateway to Hari's place.
Hari's place or Hara's place.
Abode, yeah.
From till there, it was like that restlessness, that agitation to do something, I have to achieve something, is there in Ganga. If you see her,
so much
restlessness is there.
Yes.
Once it crosses Haridwar, sees, okay, Lord is there with me, Lord is here.
Mm.
It becomes very serene. From there onwards, if you notice, 500 meters wide she'll be in Haridwar. And then it just flows serenely.
Mm.
And then, if you go to Patna, that is Mahatma Gandhi Setu, she comes 5 kilometers wide.
Mm.
That is 10 times of it. So might be she realizes that, that was a phase where you had a monkey type of bhakti, you have to do something yourself. Mm. Then she realizes that, why should I do something? Mm. I'm just going with the flow.
Right.
I'm just slowly, the serenity sets in. The expansion comes.
Yes.
And then might be, I can even add one more thing in this.
Mm-hmm.
When she feels that there is a lack of God, somewhere God is not there, muse, and then God comes in Kashi, I'm there in Kama Darshan, no problem.
Mm.
So, what I was trying to think in the analogy is that you have there are two different phases. One phase is where you try to do something that I have to do it, I have to achieve something.
Yes.
I have to face obstacles and God will help me when I call him.
Mm.
But the second phase is, I think I don't need to do anything. Let me leave everything to God.
Mm.
So there's a beautiful episode. It's a lesser known story, which is generally, came across somewhere. It's in Mahabharata.
Mm-hmm.
So there is an episode where there will be Vanvasa, they'll be in exile.
Mm.
So Draupadi, you know, they had that Akshaya Patram, they made beautiful food and Draupadi feels the lack of Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So how to get Krishna here? Arjuna tells, what is there? He's my sakha. I'll just go and ask him, he'll come.
Mm-hmm.
So, I will go and ask him, he will come.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know how Krishna will be. You'll expect the answer. So, he goes to Mathura and then because this is Vanvasa, he'll be outside and he sends word that I want to call you because we want you to invite you for the lunch here.
Mm-hmm.
He says, sorry, I have a lot of headache. I'm not well. I cannot come.
Mm-hmm.
So, crestfallen, he comes back.
Mm-hmm.
So Bhima will be waiting actually for him.
Mm-hmm.
Even before Arjuna starts for this journey, Bhima says, don't worry, I will call him.
Mm-hmm.
Told, no, he is my sakha, I will call him. So he goes. Then Bhima says, after he comes back, don't worry, it's my turn now. I will call Krishna. He told, how can you call? He is not well.
Mm-hmm.
He is having fever, he is having headache. No, don't worry, just see what I will do.
Mm-hmm.
So what Bhima does, he just goes out in the courtyard, takes his mace, throws it up.
Mm-hmm.
And he stands under it. Krishna, please come and save me. So by the time the mace, Krishna doesn't come immediately. There's a catch here.
Mm.
When the mace will be about to come and hit his head, he comes in. What is this, Bhima? Why are you calling me like this? Catches it and comes. So the mewing is the throwing of the mace here.
Beautiful, beautiful.
So this shows that the devotion of the Markata and the Marjara.
Mm.
So I don't know. Bhima was, according to some texts, Bhima had a very silent devotion towards Krishna,
absolutely,
which was not exhibited very openly.
Mm.
So in such cases, the flashes he'll show,
mm,
and Krishna will be just appear in front of him. All will be shocked.
Mm.
Yeah. Bhima called me. This is how you should call me. You can't come there and tell, come on, Krishna, come for. No, no, this is how you should call. So they have a beautiful lunch after that. And just adding to, might be on personal experience, I remember, where Swami gave me a glimpse of what is not, I can say only a glimpse, glimpse of what is actually Madhyar Bhakti. So you remember 2001, Swami told, I will not give Padmaskar Navan, and you know that, Padmaskar, yeah, Guru Purnima, take the Padmaskar in your heart, no physical Padmaskar. So after that, it really wrenched my heart, like it was someone is twisting my heart out and all. It was very painful, you know, it was, you remember.
Absolutely.
Swami is walking in front of you, you can see the beautiful lotus feet, you cannot touch it. So, but there was a temptation that should I touch, but that verse used to come to me, told, okay, let me do the hard decision, let me not indulge into touching the lotus feet, let me leave it. So it went on for around 1.5 years. So 2003, Bakrid. February or something, he called us all for an interview. He just called. So that was an acid test, you know. All these days you manage because Swami used to come in darshan and he was somewhere far, even he close by, he comes also, you avoid it. But there I was, my only thought was not what Swami will talk to me, what he will ask me. My God, if he comes, should I take Padmaskar or not? That dilemma was going on. So even in Madhyar Bhakti, that's what I'm like. Yes. The glimpse, what I'm trying to, the point is I'm trying to say is that he churns you from within. Even for doing that, like having a surrender, getting that is not so easy. So what happens is, there's a beautiful session. We have around 15-20 boys. All of us are sitting at this lotus feet. I was a little behind actually. And then he asked, what is your name? What are you doing? What you passed out? What is your future plans? All these things he asked. A beautiful, very, very beautiful session. So at the end of it, you know, come on, Swami says. So what happens is, everyone just gets up and pounces on his lotus feet. Pounces. They just go on to have that. Because see, Swami outside, he will not say anything. He will say no, but inside, no problem. Swami is ours. Everyone pounced on his feet and they were taking Padmaskar. Like, I was like, what should I do? Like, this thing is there. Come on. I was saying, why should I get this unnecessary principle? Come on, let me go. But something stopped me. So what I did is, Swami was sitting in his chair. I was just sitting, standing just in right in front of him. You know, the back wall is there, in the interview room.
Right.
Standing there and like, I don't know what to do. I was not able to even have eye contact. I was just putting my head down and standing there. I was thinking, am I doing the correct thing or not? This opportunity, where you'll get Swami calling you for an interview and then all are going and taking a part, he's not telling anything to anyone. So should I do it or not? But something stopped me. Okay, might be Swami himself wanted to teach a lesson to me. So I just stood there, all pounced on him and they're taking Padmaskar. I'm just standing there. He says, hey, Aapandi. I just heard this and I looked at him. Means, stop. Hey, stop. Pakkakalandi. All of you give way. Then like I was all the thing, what is happening? Swami got up actually. Swami was standing in, you know, this beautiful interview room chair. He was just standing in front of the chair. And then he looks at me and tells, hey, Nuvu, kisko padnamaskaram, ra.
Oh my God,
I was like, what is this?
You have not taken namaskar, take, he's telling.
And then, like, I'm standing there in front of me, Swami's feet, totally clear, open, beautiful feet. Everyone else
and he's
just
welcoming you.
Welcoming me. My God, I was like thinking, like, is it a dream or something? I pissed myself. I just pounced on his feet. Like, that smile, Swami's smile, that, if you do something like this, I will accept the devotion, sort of a thing. So the experience was like, if you try to do something which even a small, very, very small thing, minor thing like this, he will definitely come and help you and might be help you in growing in that. So all are asking me, what happened to you? So I just explained the backstory of it. Like, it's a beautiful experience. Like, Swami himself came and told, okay, he understood that what is going on in your mind and then he knows what is happening and then told, okay, come on.
Responded
to it so beautifully. So these are the two things which I was just thinking I'll share. And one more thing. Like, this is, I just read this analogy, but it's very beautiful again, that this Ramakrishna Paramahansa used to say about these two devotions. So it is like, father is catching the hand of the son and going on the road, and beautiful full moon is there. He shows the moon. Oh, the son sees the moon, so beautiful. And the son is actually catching the hand of the father and walking on the road. So what happens when he sees the moon, he misses the stone which is in the front. He stumbles and falls down. So the hand, catching the hand of the father is the Markad Bhakti. So once he sees the moon and falls down, immediately the father picks him up and takes him in his lap. So that is what happens is, what he's trying to tell is, even in that stage, you have this or that, there are two watertight compartments, this or this, it's not that. In this case, what he's trying to tell is, even when you fall in this, immediately the father will, obviously, like a spontaneous reaction, he'll just pick you up and take you in his lap. So basically what happens, from a Markad Bhakti, you became a Vajrayana Bhakti. He transforms beautiful. Immediately this to that. So again, it's in his hands to do this or that.
Very beautiful. I mean, all these, of course, when you're talking about this Pada Namaskar, there is this beautiful story which is there in the Satyasa Anandadai. So one day these devotees went to Swami and they said, Swami, what about Pada Puja? We want to do Pada Puja. Swami said, see, so many devotees are coming. Now it will become very difficult for me to give opportunity to everybody. That you all have done before. Then somebody spoke out, Swami, you are Bhakta Paradina. You have to fulfill the wishes of us devotees. Swami said, stop. I am Bhakti Paradina. I am not Bhakta Paradina, I am Bhakti Paradina.
Wow.
If your bhakti is that pure, then the Lord is always there for you. See, Bhakta, if you think you are a Bhakta,
when you are telling you are a Bhakta, already you got that horn, that I am the Bhakta.
I am a Bhakta. So you are thinking you are a Bhakta, but when you merge yourself into that Bhakti, into that devotion, that is that Prapatti which Swami is talking about. And one more very beautiful incident which so some of the orthodox Brahmins in the early 50s and all, they came to Puttaparthi and there was a pujari Krishnappa, so who was chanting the mantras and he was doing the puja and all that, and they went and complained to Swami, this orthodox priest, Swami is not chanting correctly the mantras. He is not chanting the mantras correctly, Swami. So we have pandits in our place, Rajmundry side and all that, where the devotees were from Mangalore. Swami, we will bring them, they will chant correctly. Swami said, what is mantra? Manana trayate iti mantra, Swami said. And then Swami said, I am the mantra. I am the mantra. When I am here, what other mantra is needed? No other mantra is needed. Then Swami said, he is worshipping me with so much of devotion. That bhakti is what I want. That devotion is what I want. I don't want these external things. All these things, it doesn't matter. Whatever he chants, whatever he does, he will be here and let your priests be where they are. So, when that devotion transforms into surrender with that complete prema, that's what Swami is saying, and you are surrendered, then the Lord doesn't see anything else.
Yes.
He doesn't see this, he doesn't see that. He is yours, that's all.
Wow.
Yeah, adding to this, one more, I just remembered, as you told, we were just studying, I just joined MBA. So, when we used to go back after evening bhajans, this used to be a daily, every alternate day I used to see. One very old man will have a pushcart. He will cut all this big grass from the Gokulam. If Sai Gita shed was there.
Right.
Sai Gita shed opposite. There used to be big grass used to be there. So he used to cut all that grass. He used to put it on that pushcart. Old man. A little dirty dhoti and then beard and little old in his thing. Might be above 60 or something. He used to push this cart from the Sai Gita shed to the Ishwarama Samadhi. Ishwarama Samadhi, if you remember, there used to be few cows. One of them was Lakshmi or something. And I heard that that milk of those cows used to go directly to Swami. Swami used to. So I used to see him every alternate day, whenever 6 o'clock our bhajan used to get over and then we used to go back to a hostel. I used to see him very silently without any airs. He'll just take that cart, it will be filled with this grass, very fresh green cut grass. He used to cut it himself. He used to get it and then he used to take it to the Ishwarama Samadhi, all the way from Sai Gita shed. So we used to always encounter him near the Vidyagiri arch, where there is a slope.
Yes.
When you come from the college towards Mandir, there is a slope.
Correct.
So once or twice I have seen, and he used to be a struggle for him to actually push it up.
Yes.
So, a couple of times what we did, few of us who were there, boys, we used to push it and we used to take it to the Ishwarama Samadhi and drop him there and come back. So this used to happen whenever we used to meet, whenever that time comes, whenever we had that time where that meeting happened. So slight acquaintance grew. And then once when I went, I just asked him, like, you don't come for darshan, you don't come for anything. So what do you do? Like, I was totally new. Like, darshan was like so crazy. Swami is coming in darshan, Swami is talking to you, Swami is going around you, and you are doing something else without seeing Swami here. What is this? He was, and one more thing, one thing which I cannot miss, the sparkle in his eyes. He was that he was otherwise very old, beard, and then little clothes were a little tattered, but there's a sparkle in his eyes. So he told, whatever I'm doing here is, I'm seeing Swami in this. What else you want? I don't want anything more than this. I'm serving his own cows which are there in Ishwarama Samadhi, his own parent Samadhi. He used to live in a very small room. If you remember, there are 3-4 rooms there just next to Samadhi. He used to stay in one of the rooms there. And then he used to get these pushcart and he used to get that fresh grass and he used to feed the cows there. 3-4 times I went, and once I had an opportunity to ask him, he told, what is there? I said, darshan is not so important as doing the service here. Because I get a lot of satisfaction doing the service. That joy which I get doing the service is more than having his darshan. Like, it was totally alien thing for me. Come on, he's giving darshan there and you're getting joy here?
Everyone is doing seva so that they can get a chance with the Lord. You want proximity of the Lord.
And that is the ultimate objective. Like, I don't know, I just remember this because the thing came of Prapatti, like, it is not that Lakshma, fine, but if you see that way, Bharata also is no less.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is like, I was thinking it's like Bharata, like,
absolutely.
No problem, Swami is there, so what? I'm doing his service. I'm coming, I'm doing, going there and getting this grass and feeding the cows which give milk to you.
Yes.
So that's a very noble thought, I felt. Yes. So just, I'll share this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the prema ultimately achieves that level of prapatti only through service.
Correct.
See, Lakshmana is Lakshmana because of service.
Correct.
You know, ultimately, here Bhagavan compares Prahlada and Lakshmana and says Lakshmana is superior. So what is it that distinguishes Lakshmana from Prahlada? Service. In one way, when you look at it, you know, Hanuman, what is it that makes Hanuman so fantastic? It is service.
Correct.
I mean, and Swami always brings in that distinction between Vibhishana and
Vibhishana
Hanuman.
Hanuman.
It's great to have love for the Lord, but love gets its sanctity only from selfless service.
So that's what Swami, there's a famous saying in Hindi, Mume Ram, Hath Me Kaam. Both should be there.
Both should be there, absolutely. I mean, I think that is what Swami also expected us, I mean, especially the students all the time. In fact, you know, when you were talking about this aspect of surrender, I was reminded of one brother who joined in, I think in 11th class. He was coming from the North India. And as soon as he joined, in fact, even before he joined, Swami started taking interest in him. In fact, there's a very interesting tale also. He was not good in one subject. And that year, there was no test in that subject itself. Yes. You know, for some reason, that test was cancelled. And this fellow gets into 11th class. Okay. And it's actually, I remember Bharat Dutt, you know, who worked in Swami's hospital for many years. I'll not go into that story. So he joins here in 11th class, and then, you know, there was not a day when Swami was not talking to him. You know, wherever he said, Swami will come and, you know, call him, and, you know, we know how Swami, you know, throw a vibhuti packet or throw a apple, something or the other. And it became a norm, like, you know, if you want Swami to look at you, you sit next to Bharat Dutt. Definitely Swami
definitely
will
Swami look at you.
Swami will definitely look at you. And, you know, so, and this was like a daily affair going on for months, you know, months together. And so he had also, you know, sort of reconciled to the fact that, you know, I mean, that's what Swami loves me the most, you know, so that's what it is. So everybody also knew about it. And then suddenly everything stopped one day, you know. So Swami had given everything, ring, chain, camera, I think everything he had got.
Those used to be those things, so what all I got?
Yeah, you know, as a kid, learn class, you will get excited about all these things. And then suddenly one day everything stopped. And
you know, then first day when Swami did not talk, he said, okay, maybe Swami just, you know, missed it.
He got
busy or something. So the next day he thought, no problem. So the next day also Swami avoided him. Okay. He thought, okay, maybe Swami is, you know, occupied with something today. So third day it happens. And now it seemed like really, there is something wrong. He's not talking to me. I didn't do anything. What happened? You know? So, and then, as time went on, a week, I know, it was like too much for him. Because there was never a time like that in his life. Swami has not looked at him, spoken to him for a week. And now, you know, and what you are going through, the way people perceive you also changes so much.
Yes.
You know, and that hurts you so much.
Something will be wrong.
People, you know, it's like when Swami talks to you, then you are the holiest person. And when Swami distances you, then the world also wants to distance themselves from you. And I think if you have lived with Bhagwan in physical quarters, any student would have experienced this, you know. And so now it becomes so painful. At one point in time, you were the star. Everyone wanted to be with you. Everyone wanted to, in those days, selfie culture was not around. Everyone would have taken a selfie with that person. it was like that. You know? And now suddenly, nobody wants to sit next to him. It's coming to that. You know? So, it was hurting. I mean, for an 11th class guy, you know, it's too much to want. To understand what is happening, and he's not able to bear it actually. Now nobody, once upon a time, every teacher wanted to talk to him. And now nobody wants to talk to him. And so he went on for a few weeks, and, you know, slowly he started losing interest. You know, earlier what used to be 1.1, he should come first, he should sit now. So anyway, it doesn't matter anyway whether I'm there or not. So he started, you know, he's coming late for darshans and all that started happening. And so he started questioning, does Swami love me? You know, maybe he does not love me anymore. One phase was there, something happened, you know, but now he doesn't like me anymore and all that. So that was going on. And one day he came late for darshan. I think probably so many weeks have passed now. And he was sitting in the car garage, you know. Anyway,
old friends block.
Old friends block. Yeah.
All who are totally ignored are sitting there.
Yeah. So he was just sitting there. And, you know, so much he has cried also all these days, you know, that why all this is happening to me. And suddenly when bhajans were going on that day, he was crying and, you know, now tears have become very natural also, you know. So that day as he was crying, suddenly this thought came. Okay, Swami does not like me. Okay, that's fine. Swami does not love me. That's fine. But I love him, no? That thought came suddenly. So how does it matter whether Swami likes me or not? It just matters that I should love Swami. I should love Swami. Do I not love Swami? So he asked himself. Yeah, I love Swami. Answer is coming that, yeah, I love. So then that thing came, okay, if you love Swami, then why are you worrying? Why are you so sad? Swami is there. And you love him, no? Anyway, you wanted to love him. So when that thought came, suddenly he just felt very calm actually. After many weeks of turmoil and agitation and deep despondency, there was some sort of, you know, it was a relief in some way, you know, that day. And so the tears were still there, but, you know, the tears were a different kind now. It was a tears of some realization. And so he was sitting there and now still crying, but he was calm. He was happy in a way, you know. And the interview gets over and Swami comes out and, you know, see, he nowadays he doesn't even track Swami, you know, where Swami is, because it doesn't matter. But Swami comes and Swami stands at the end of that slope, you know, in those days, slope. So, and he's sitting behind and then suddenly Swami looks at him, you know, Swami beckons him. And he can't believe that Swami is calling him, you know. Swami says, no, you only. He comes and as soon as he comes, then Swami asked this guy, how are you? And you know, all this kind of, did you have food and that kind of casual, as if nothing has happened all these months like that. Swami talks to him and takes, I take namaskar and all that. And that's all, it's all over. I mean, this whole process of, you know, why I thought about this is one thing is that surrender. One, you know, see, they say ultimately bhakti is selfless surrender, selfless acceptance, and selfless silence. And that silence, acceptance, and surrender. I think those are very, very profound.
Swami uses the word absolute, unconditional surrender.
Swami says that is the best expression of love. The best expression of love is how beautifully we have practiced silent devotion, silent selflessness, silent surrender, and silent acceptance. And I think, you know, all our journey from bhakti to prapati is this journey. You know, ultimately we have to reach to that stage where we silently accept everything. And that's when you become, you know, a Marjala Kishora. But whatever happens, you're fantastic. You feel, Swami, you are fantastic. That is the only thing in that can come to your mind. And the other beautiful incident that came to my mind, you know, when you're talking about this inside, the Lord outside, you know, how He becomes inside. Probably you have heard this story, but it is really worth repeating because it's really very, very, very insightful. So, Anil Kumar, sir, Dr. Anil Kumar, you know, used to teach in the chemistry department here. So he mentions how in one vacation, this happened in the 70s or no, mid 80s. So all the boys had gone home, and there are few boys from the Vrindavan campus who had not gone home. And so this, well, hardly some 10-15 boys were there. And so it was vacation time. Swami used to sometimes call these boys inside. In fact, what Swami used to do is, after Swami used to have dinner, after that, sometimes Swami used to call these boys, just like that. Because these boys have stayed back after vacation and all that. So one day, as soon as they entered the interview room, Swami started singing Bhajagovindam, Adi Shankara's Bhajagovindam. And then Swami started explaining the meaning of Gopala. Do you know what is the meaning of Gopala and all that? So Swami said, see, Gopala means Gopala. You know, when a calf is born, what happens? It is covered with all that placenta fluid, all that fluid. So what does the mother cow do? Immediately it licks the calf and clears all the impurity and prepares it for the world, makes it pure, clean. I said, that is what the Lord does. See, even when an animal can clean, you think the Lord will not do? Lord is Gopala, He will completely clean you. That's what Swami says. And Swami says, see, when you sing bhajans, you think about the Lord like this, how He is cleansing you. And as the bhajans are sung, you ruminate on the beautiful form of the Lord, you know, think about the most beautiful darshan that you have had. So when Swami went on explaining how they can make most of bhajans, and as the session ended, this Anil Kumar sir, you know, he was so inspired that to practice this. And so the next day when bhajans begin, because a very few boys all were sitting, you know, not really next to each other because of ample space. And so he closed his eyes and he was lost, thinking of the most beautiful darshan he has had. You know, there is that darshan, I don't know, even I can relate to that, because when I used to come as a Balvika's kid also, this is the darshan which is there in my mind. In the evening, when you had, you did not have the canopy of the Sai Kulwant Hall, you know, you had all these coconut trees. And in the evening when Bhagwan came out, he will stand at the end of the slope, bhajans would be going on, and he would sway. You know, he would just put his hand behind, put hand behind, and you know, sun would be setting, it will be crimson, and you know, and gentle breeze, and Swami swaying to that breeze, and Swami in rhythm to the bhajan, you know, and many times you would stand minutes like that, you know, for like 5-10 minutes, 15
right,
minutes.
Right.
So you should really love that, you know, you can listen to bhajan and you can see Bhagwan. So that was a darshan which he was visualizing. And you're so much in bliss thinking about that bhajan and that darshan that, you know, he lost completely sense of time and space and what is happening around him, completely oblivious to everything, enjoying that darshan. And meanwhile, interview gets over. Swami comes out in the car. In those days, Swami just go for a drive. So Swami goes out and Swami returns. But he's still in his bliss. And so when Bhagwan comes back, as Swami is alighting from the car, so all the boys go near Swami. But, you know, he was not aware of it. He was basically in his own world. And, you know, nobody realized this also because all attention is on Swami. Nobody is thinking of who is left out like that. But Swami got down the car and Swami, as he stepped out, Swami started walking. His eyes fell on him and Swami started walking. And as Swami walked near him, he was not aware. And Swami goes and stands in front of him and perhaps someone taps him or I don't know, Swami himself taps him. Suddenly, he opens his eyes with a he jolted. And he's so stunned because the exact imagery what was there in his mind is the same imagery in front. Swami is standing like that and he's like thinking, is it that inside Swami or is it the outside? Outside Swami. Because Swami is standing like that, putting his hand and swaying like that. Same thing Swami is doing. Exactly what is going on. Bhajans are going on.
Beautiful.
Okay. So he's like in tears. It's like that mind, his thoughts are so powerful that the whole thing is manifested in front of him like that.
Beautiful.
And he's unable to, you know, he's not able to think. And then Swami says, outside Swami, inside Swami, both are same.
Oh, beautiful.
Swami says that. So I think that is... that is the journey of all the... I mean, I think for us, all of us who have had the opportunity of physical proximity, you know, this is the journey, you know, we have to internalize. And I think part of the internalization process is you not only accept now that the physical form is not there, but you accept that everything that is happening in your life is what he has wanted. And in fact, there's another very beautiful doha of Kabir, you know, which Brother Rajneesh said, just for few seconds, I'll just play that and probably we can end. It ends on this note about, you know, how he's all the time inside, but we go on searching for him.
प्यासी मोहे सुन सुन आवे हंसी पानी ने नीन प्यासी मोहे सुन सुन आवे हंसी आत्मज्ञान बिना नर भटके आत्मज्ञान बिना नर भटके कोई मथुरा कोई काशी कोई मथुरा कोई काशी जैसे मृग नाभि कस्तूरी जैसे मृग नाभि कस्तूरी बन बन फिरत उदासी बन बन फिरत उदासी पानी में नीन प्यासी मोहे सुन सुन आवे हंसी.
Of course, if you understand Hindi, you will realize so beautiful it is. The pani may mean pyaasi. It's like the fish is in the water, but still the fish is saying, I'm thirsty.
Same as the plight of some human man.
Yeah, same as the plight of man. And he says, you know, everything is there in Atma Gyan. You don't have to go to Kashi and Kaaba. And it's like the deer in the forest who has that fragrance coming out of itself, but is searching everywhere.
The musk deer.
Musk deer, yeah, absolutely. So that is what beautifully... Saint Kabir mentions. I think on, you know, as we end, the one, something that I had read some time back, which is very beautiful about bhakti, you know, internalizing bhakti in everyday life. They say that, you know, when bhakti enters food,
food becomes prasadam. When bhakti enters hunger, the hunger becomes a fast. When bhakti enters water, water becomes abhishekam. When bhakti enters travel, travel becomes pilgrimage. When bhakti enters music, music becomes bhajan. When bhakti enters a house, the house becomes a temple. When bhakti enters actions, actions become seva. When bhakti enters work, then work becomes karma. When bhakti enters man, man becomes human. And I thought, when bhakti subsumes man, then man becomes divine. You know, I think that is the journey. I think we have discussed last four sessions on this, where Swami is telling there is no easier path than bhakti. No path as beautiful and as fulfilling as bhakti. And among bhakti, where Bhagwan is saying the way is the path of prapatti, where you have absolute complete surrender. So let's see what Swami has in store in the coming chapters of Prema Vahini. So dear listeners, with that, we have to draw the curtains on this segment and the day-long Thursday life. Today we had a bit of a power outage, and that's the reason why we could not have some segments of Thursday life. We hope to continue this session of Vahini Satsang with chapter 25 in the next week. And let's pray to Bhagwan that He fills us with that bhakti, so that every time we think about Him, it becomes Shravanam, because ultimately every emotion of ours should convert into devotion. That is when we would be in the state of constant liberation. Thank you so much. Sadhana.